Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to snowy Oklahoma. This is getting really ridiculous this year, but you know, we call it winter, and that's what you have to get through to call it spring. And so the whole country and the weather this year in the United States has been absolutely crazy. I wonder if someone is trying to get our attention. Well, who knows? Of course they are. Let me explain to you what happened to me last week. I still count on one hand the times I've not done a weekly video. I think I'm out of fingers probably, but in the last 10 years or so, we've been almost every single week. But last week I was running behind because of travel schedule and some other things that were going on. And when you're running behind, that is a surefire that you're going to run into another glitch. And so I had some software problems last week. I'm in the process of being forced kind of to upgrade to a new program that I have been kicking and screaming. Basically, it comes down to this. What I'm using right now is a free program. What I have to go to is about $300. And I'm not the person that wants to just go out and throw money at something if I don't have to. And so if I can do something with a free program, I'll do it. But it looks like I'm going to have to make the jump here. So that's what happened last week. God willing, things are going to work this week. And if they do, then I don't have to buy the other program. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. A couple of things will be in, God willing, be in Houston, Texas next weekend. Of course, coming up with Durham, North Carolina, Gloucester, Virginia. And we just booked another conference we're going to be doing. I'm going to be down in Ada, Oklahoma with Steve and Vicky. We're going to be doing the Tabernacle Experience down there. Looks like the middle of March. So if you're anywhere in the area, like to experience that, it's really one of my favorite. We were talking last week as I was down there with him. We were talking about the Tabernacle, the Mishkan, and started talking to Steve about this later on, about the teaching that I've done for I don't know how many years now on the Tabernacle and the experience of walking through that. And he said, let's book that. And so we're going to try to do that the middle of March. So check the website probably another week or so before we actually get the date tied down. I'm thinking it's going to be March 14th and 15th. So with that, we're going to get into Matthew chapter 25 and the parable of the talents. Now, parable of talents goes along with the last parable we talked about, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. And it basically, the simplistic nature of these parables, I'm sure there's many other levels of these parables, but I'll take just the one that really relates to us here, and that is that there's a separation that is happening. Before we enter into the kingdom, there will be a time of separation. I personally today feel that we are probably at least entering into that time of separation. We see all through Scripture the wheat and the chaff, the five wise, the five foolish, those that used their talents, those that did not use their talents. Back in Jeremiah, the wicked shepherds and those that would shepherd according to the heart of Yahweh. And so this separation is happening, and I see that it's happening today. And I really feel like it is of greater prophetic significance than even, you know, the snow and the climate changes and all of those things. I see as that this is very, very prophetic. And it's something that's not happening. It's not just happening in the Messianic Hebrew Roots movement, but this is something that I see happening in the part of Christianity that I still have some contacts with, people that I know that are that relate to me. What's going on there? It also is happening over in Judaism. So it's not just as one group of people this is happening to, but it's happening in all groups of people that are claiming the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so today, the very fact that we see this happening before us is of great prophetic significance and not to be taken lightly. So let's begin by reading the parable, and then we'll get back into it. in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, for it was like a man, it was like is talking about the kingdom, same thing we saw back in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. For it will be like a man about to leave home for a while who entrusted his possessions to his servants. Now, anybody can see the significance of this, I think, that Messiah was upon this earth, and that he left and he entrusted something unto his followers. To one he gave 5 talents, equivalent to a 100 years' wages. To another he gave 2 talents, which is about 40 years' wages. And to another 1 talent, or 20 years' wages. To each according to his ability, then he left. The one who had received 5 talents immediately went out, invested it, and earned another 5. Similarly, the one who given 2 earned another 2. But the one given 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the other 5, and said, "Sir, you gave me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 more. His master said, "Excellent. You are a good and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful in a small amount, so I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and join in your master's happiness." Also, the one who had received 2 came forward and said, "Sir, you gave me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Excellent, you are a good and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with a small amount, so I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and join in your master's happiness." Now the one who had received 1 talent came forward and said, "I knew you were a hard man. You harvest where you didn't plant and gather where you didn't sow. I was afraid, so I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, take what belongs to you." "You wicked, lazy servant," said the master. "So you knew, did you, that I harvest where I haven't planted, and that I gather where I didn't sow? Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, so that when I return I would have at least gotten back interest with my capital. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have more than enough. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away from him. As for this worthless servant, throw him out in the dark, where people will wail and grind their teeth." Okay, this is one of those parables that's been taught over and over again. I'm not sure if I'm going to add a lot to it, but we're going to try to. First of all, let's go back and see that we have the 3 talents, the 3 servants. They're all living in the master's house. They all have the same ability to walk in a relationship with the master. The master comes to a place and says, "I'm leaving for a while." In fact, eventually it will end up being a long time, where we see in verse 19. And so, to these 3 servants, he gives these different talents. To one he gives 5, to one he gives 2, to another one he gives 1 talent. Now, David Stern translates this and says that the 5 talents is equal to 100 years' wages. Quite a bit of money. If you figure today that the average income, they say the average income is around $50,000 in the United States, multiply that out by 100. Now, I think that comes out to like $5 million or something like that. It's a lot of money, no doubt about that. And so, what if somebody gave you the equivalent today of $5 million? Think about it. What would you do with it? This is not quite winning the lottery, but it is getting a pretty good ticket. By the way, I don't play those things because I don't feel like it's a whole lot of faith in that. But if the Father wants me to have $5 million, He can give me a lot better ways to have that money than playing some lottery thing out there. So, side issue. one of my little pet peeves there. So, you know, to think that someone would come up and hand you $5 million and say, hey, how about taking care of this for me? What would you do with $5 million? There's no real strings attached. It does not say anywhere that the master said, now go out and do anything with this. He just gave them the talents. And they had to make a decision of what to do with those talents. All three of them, you know, basically, it doesn't appear that they actually used them for themselves, but instead, all three of them used them in one way or another for the master's use. They didn't use it for their own needs, their own wants, all of those things. So they did have the idea of it is the master's money. The talent comes from the master. And so the guy with the five, the guy with the two, and the guy with the one, they acknowledged that these talents have been given to them from the master, and they're to use them for his benefit. Now, the guy with one, we'll get into that in just a moment. Before we go any further, we have to consider that this is a parable that is speaking to us today. And that there are different people within the family of God, within the family of Elohim, that have different talents and have different numbers of talents. You know, it's just sometimes, you know, you see somebody in front of you. It's like being in ministry. I'll just take it from my aspect. In ministry, I don't know Hebrew. I can't sing. I can't play a piano. I can't play anything except the radio and the CD player, or you know, or hit the button on my iPod on my phone or something. I can't do those things. I'm not that five talent person. I have my own talents. I understand that. But there are people that have greater talents, have been given greater talents than what I have today. And I have a choice with this. I talk about this month a lot in this month's CD on obstacles to knowing Him. This is going to be part of a series that's going to go on for quite some time. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to go, but I kind of feel like it's going to go on for some time. And so in this scenario, we have people that are around us that have different numbers, a different number of talents. And we have a choice of what to do with those people. Let's face it, most of us are not the five talent people. Most of us have, you know, maybe three or four, something like that. But, you know, there's always somebody, it seems like, that has more talent than you do, more anointings, more gifts than you do. And so it is so easy for us to become jealous of that person. I think it's interesting that he said that there's one that's got five, one that's got two, and one that's got one. He didn't just pit the five guy against the one guy, but he threw that number two guy into the center of this for a specific reason, is that it adds another dimension of this. The guy that has two talents, he could have looked at the guy with five and said, you know, the master didn't give me five talents, so I think I'm just going to go out and take these two talents and do with them something, whatever I want to. No, he understood that the master had still entrusted him with something that may be what he could handle, maybe what he needed. See, there are very few people, I believe, on this earth that can handle five talents. Most of us are not able to handle the five talents. Because if given those five talents, the vast majority of us will become arrogant, will become prideful. And I've seen this with people who have a lot of talent, a lot of anointing, a lot of gifts. The trap for them is they become arrogant about the amount of gifts, thinking that it's now from them. They forget that everything they have is from the Master, and the amount of talents they have becomes the trap that brings them down. I think we should each pray that the Father would give us the number of talents that we can handle for His glory. That He would not give us more than we can handle, and He would not give us less, so that we would not waste His time upon this earth. And so, we need to pray, first of all, that He would give us the exact number of talents, anointing, and this word talent, of course, is talking back then of a monetary, has a monetary equivalent. I think today we would be better served to say that the Master is giving these gifts or these anointings, okay? And so we need to, first of all, I think, be praying that we would have the number of gifts, and I'm going to just go ahead and use that word for a while. We would have the number of gifts that we need to carry out the work that is our call in life. Now, with each one of the servants, the gifts are going to be different because the calling is going to be different. Again, going back to that jealousy thing, and this is what the commandment of you shall not covet is talking about, is that we need to walk in the gifts that we have, and we need to acknowledge those gifts and not be concerned about another person. Okay, how can I be, the scripture would say, Yeshua says this, that we are not to be the judge of another man's servant. We are to judge ourselves. We are to judge our relationship. And so we need to pray that He gives me the talents, and then the gifts, and then the next step is then to acknowledge those gifts. This is a gift that I have been given from the Father. Now, how can I use that gift for Your glory? Because I can use the gift for my own benefit. Let's take someone that I won't mention any names. But let's take someone that may have been given the gift of healing. And they built a whole ministry on the gift of healing. But somewhere along the way in the transition, the gift became about them instead of about Him. And end up building your own kingdom. See, each one of us, and I got this picture the other day, of each one of us, no matter if you're a teacher, you can be one of the leading speakers out there, or you can be someone who is called to pray, or you can, and I didn't say just pray, did I? I think that would be one of those great things to alleviate from our vocabulary. Another one of my pet peeves coming out today is we should never put the word just in front of prayer. And I hear this from people all over the world. Well, all we can do is just pray. Let's take that word just and throw that one out. What we can do is pray. And the person that is praying is just as important as the person that is standing in front of a crowd of 1,000 people or whatever it is. Because each one of them is walking in their gift. Now, our gift, that which we have been given, can be used for one of two purposes. We can either turn that gift into an agenda to build our own kingdom, or we can allow that gift to be a facet to build His kingdom. Consider a diamond. And a diamond, I don't have no clue about diamonds. I know nothing about diamonds, don't really care to spend a lot of money for a rock. Okay, this not one of those things that is on my agenda. But a diamond has various facets. And all of those facets, when they come together, they refract the light and bring forth the beauty of whatever beauty there is of a shiny rock. Okay, you can tell I'm not really into rocks. But It does. There is a beauty of a diamond that is cut perfectly, that has all those facets that are working together to bring forth a specific light. And so we can take our gifts, no matter what the gift they are, and we can use them for our own purposes, or we can use them for His purpose. Another aspect of this is that today there are a number of people that say, and I'm just going to kind of try to weave this in. I'm not sure if it's going to weave real well, but I'm going to weave it in anyway. It may kind of look like a strange appendage sitting over there, but we're going to try it. Is that there are people that say that the gifts are not for today. And this is not just in my old Baptist church, but this is something that I see in Messianic circles today. I have been in meetings. You start talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and they say I've heard this. I've had this said to my face. Oh, that's for the church. Well, excuse me. When Paul was writing his books of Ephesians and Galatians and Corinthians and all these books that bring forth the foundational truth that was already found in Torah, that about those gifts, all what Paul was talking about didn't start in Corinth, didn't start in Galatia, did not start in Ephesus. It began back in the Torah. And so all of those gifts were not just something that God just decided, hey, well, I got this new thing, I'm going to do something and put something new that nobody's ever seen. No, everything came from the Torah. And so when Paul was writing this, he was just explaining to them what had already been established many years ago and how people could walk in it in that day. And by the way, when Paul was talking to the congregation of Corinth, to the congregation of Ephesus and Galatia and all these different ones, there was no church in that day, because the first time that we have a church is with Constantine. Okay, there was a congregation. There was an assembly. This idea of church had not come about yet. That's another word we could drop from our vocabulary very well. But these are gifts that if we have people out there that believe today that those gifts are not for them, what are they saying? I don't want those talents. Oh, there's five talents out there? I don't want those five talents. I don't want those two talents. I don't want that one talent. The Scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or variance of turning. I just misquoted that a little bit. It's in the book of Yaakov or James. And so every good gift comes from Him. And we should be, as the Scripture says, desiring with great desire the gifts that He desires to give to us. Why? Because those gifts are given to us to fulfill His purpose in building His kingdom. So if there's a gift out there that you're saying to yourself, that thing's not for me, who's playing God here? If you're saying, well, I don't. A willing servant, a bond servant, the good bond servant, says to his master, whatever talent, gift, calling, anointing, whatever I can receive from you to build your household, that is what I desire. And that's what the guy with the five talents did. That's what the guy with the two talents did. They didn't look at each other and compare. They went out and they took what they had been given with graciousness, with joy, that they had been given something from the master. And they took it out, and then they made it into something more. They literally doubled what they had been given. Then we have this other guy, this one talent guy, who, first of all, probably was jealous of the other two. That's probably part of it. The other side is that he really did not know his master, did he? If we look back at the Scriptures, it says, I knew you were a hard man, You harvest where you didn't plant and gather where you didn't sow. I was afraid, so I went out and hid your talent. So this is the attitude that this guy has. This is the image this guy has of what his master is. Now, do we see this from the first two? Do we see the guy with the five talents? Does he say, well, you were a hard man, that you planted where you didn't sow, and where you harvested where you didn't plant, and gathered where you didn't sow? Do we see this from the five-talent guy? No. Do we see this from the two-talent guy? No. So where did this guy get this? And is it true to begin with? The master says, it says in verse 26, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew, did you, that I harvest where I haven't planted and that I gather where I didn't sow? Some have taken this to say that the master is agreeing with the one talent servant. They're saying, yep, you're right. You know, I gather where I haven't sown, and I reap and all these things. He's not agreeing with him. Listen to the inflection again that I'm going to put into these words. So you knew, did you, that I harvest where I haven't planted and that I gather where I didn't sow? You knew that? Where did you get something stupid? I'm adding now. Where did you get something stupid like that? Basically, it comes down to this. The one talent servant did not know the master. He did not have a clue who the master was. Now, he had lived in the same house with the five-talent guy, with the two-talent guy, who had the right attitude toward the master. But he had never walked in the relationship with the master that the five-talent guy did and the two-talent guy did. I would dare say that if this account was changed around a little bit and you had taken the five-talent guy and given him one and taken the one-talent guy and given him five, that the results would have been the same. That the one-talent guy would have doubled what he had. And the five-talent guy would have said this, I knew you were a hard master and all of those things. Why? Because his relationship was not in order. And so, this parable really has nothing to do with the amount of talents that you are given. What this parable has to do with is this. What are we doing with our talent? Are we using that talent in a right relationship with the master? Or do we have our own idea of who the master is? This goes back to what I was talking about back in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, that one of the most difficult things for many of us to overcome is a wrong image of who Yahweh is. A wrong image of who Yeshua is. The scripture says it's in the 10 words, the 10 commandments in Exodus chapter 20, that you are to make no graven image of him. No graven image that we bow down to, and it says of things in the air, all those. But I want to just talk to you about the word graven image, and that what holds many of us back is this: that we have a graven image in our mind of who the Father is. We have a graven image in our mind of who Yeshua is. How many times through the years, I just had it happen not too long ago, I won't tell you how long ago, so you don't know when where it was, but I had somebody that come to me, and they came with a question, and I was standing there giving them answers, two other people walked up and were giving them answers. And no matter what scripture we came up with, no matter what idea, no matter what parable, no matter what illustration that we came up with, this person had locked in their mind, graven into their mind, engraved into their mind, the image of what they wanted to know, of what they wanted to walk in. And nothing was going to change that. And I dare say this is one of the major things for most of us to get over in life, is to take that graven image that is in our mind of who Yahweh is, of who Yeshua is, and to cast that away and break it into pieces. You know, that golden calf, that's what it is. That's a graven image. And you and I aren't going out there, getting our earrings and our nose rings and our regular rings or whatever. We're not taking that and making it into images of golden calves. That would be easy to get rid of, would it not? The much more difficult thing to get rid of is the golden calf that is in our mind of who Yahweh is. That is a transformation that has to happen with prayer. It has to happen with reading scripture. It has to happen with spending time in the presence of Yahweh Himself. And so we go on with this of the separation that is going to happen between these. When the master comes back, he says to the guy with the five, he says to the guy with the two, words that you and I we should long for. I mean, literally, just long for. And I'll go back and quote it the way that I memorized it years ago. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that is set before you. You know, if there's anything else in life that we are living for, It's nothing in comparison to those words. Those are words that you and I, when we read those words, should make us stop and almost weep in His presence. Because those are the words that hopefully we're desiring to hear in the end. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that I have prepared for you. Now, go back, before I go on, go back and see that it says let's go to verse 21. His master said to him, excellent, you are a good and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with a small amount. Okay, 100 years' wages, the master calls a small amount. So I will put you in charge of a large amount. I mean, you know, if my calculations are right there, let's figure that what he's saying to this servant is this: $5 million. That's walking around money compared to what I'm going to put you in charge of. Why? Because you were faithful. You were faithful to do with what I gave you, and because of that, I'm going to put you in something that's in charge of something that's really important now. As opposed to the wicked servant who says to him, you wicked and lazy servant, take what this guy has and take it away from him. He was so lazy that he wouldn't even go to the bank and put the money in the bank to draw interest. He wouldn't give his money to any. He went out in the backyard and dug a hole and hid his talent. And I tell you what, I've met many people today that because of whatever reason, they get angry, they get jealous, they get all kinds of things, take their little talent, take it in their backyard, and hide it in their little sandbox. And it grieves me to see people that because of the trials of life end up hiding their talent instead of using their talent for the glory of the master. They hide their talent in the backyard somewhere. This guy dug a little hole and said, I'm just going to stick my talent in the hole. And you know who is the one that loses in this? Yes, it is the servant, of course, but is everybody else? When you or I hide our talents, you know what we're doing? We're hurting other people. Because those talents, those gifts, back to that word, the gifts that you and I are given by the Father, those gifts are not for our benefit. They're for someone else's benefit. To go back and quote an old friend, life is not about you. Life is about him. And when we come to the conclusion that the gifts that he gives us is not for our benefit, it's for others, it's at that moment that we are truly in line to use our talent, our gift, for the greatest benefit. You know, my own personal story, I was a shy child growing up. I didn't talk to anybody. I was not, so when people find out today that I'm in ministry and that I'm speaking in front of people, they go, I can't believe that you are doing this. This is not the person that I knew years ago. And I say, I know that. Because the very fact that I would sit here week after week, except for last week, and look at a camera and be able to speak for almost 50 minutes now, that is not within this person. I understand that the gift of speaking is a gift from him. Now, I can use that gift in one of two different ways. I can go and just stand in front of my bathroom mirror and I can talk to myself. What would that be doing? That would be hiding the gift that he's given. Or sit and look at a camera every week. Go out and minister to people. That is my gift. Okay? But what about your gift? What is your gift? And what are you doing with that gift? Or gifts, plural. I challenge you today, Shabbat, take a little while, take a few minutes, and write down the gifts that he has given you. It may be a short list. It may be a long list. But write those things down that he has given you. Maybe it is the gift of encouragement. Wow, that's another one. That's one I hadn't thought about. I got an email a week or so ago from a person that says, they just emailed. It was a word of encouragement to me. At the end of the email, they said, please pray for me that I would just every day would walk in, and I can't remember exactly how they put it, but every day I would be used by him. And I didn't email him back, but I'd emailed him back, but I didn't say this. But I just thought about it later on. I thought, today you did that because today you walked in the gift of encouragement. Send an email, just very quick, didn't take that long to do. But that was using a gift. See, these things, you don't have to go out and become a concert pianist. You don't have to take voice lessons and be the next Paul Wilbur. You have to use your gifts, the callings that he has given to you. And according to this parable, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's a statement that is in... if you go to the gym or whatever, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's a concept that goes over to spiritual gifts. That's a concept that goes to this parable right here, that he said to the guy with one talent, "You're a wicked and lazy servant. You're not using what I've given you. Because of that, I'm going to take what has been given to you." And I'm going to give it to someone else. What would you want to happen? What are the gifts? What are the talents? What's the anointing? What's the callings that are calling? Either one. Because some of us are one talent people. Okay, we're like one talent puppies. You know, others are five talent puppies. It's just the way it is. But the one talent puppy can be just as cute and sometimes cuter in doing it one talent than the other puppy that has five and doesn't do it right, you know, or whatever. So I don't know how I got into that one, but probably because we have a puppy that we're trying to teach a few talents too. So if you're not using those talents, what's going to happen? They're going to be taken away from you and they're going to be given to another person. So this parable should cause us to, first of all, come to the place of examining, what is my attitude toward the master? Number two, what is the master given to me? Number three, what am I doing with what the master has given me? Am I using those talents for his glory? Or are they hidden in the sandbox in the backyard somewhere? If you find that there was a day that you had a lot of talents, but today you don't feel like those talents sometimes we got seasons for things he gives us. Other times we just kind of walk away and say, I'm not going to deal with that talent anymore. And all of a sudden we start losing the others. It's just some soul searching, okay? A little soul searching for all of us to take a very basic parable and put it right back into our lives. Today, he is separating. He's separating, as we'll see in the next week, he's separating sheep from goats, chaff from wheat, talents from talents, at least attitudes toward talent from attitudes toward talent. It's a day of separation, which, from my standpoint, is a good thing. Because it means that we're coming to the place that we're about to enter into the kingdom. He is preparing us for that last time period before we enter into the kingdom. At that place, when we enter in, everything will be separated out. There will be none of this of wondering if a person is a wheat or a tare. In that day, we'll know. We'll know whether they're a sheep, whether they're a goat. The separating is something he is doing. Let's not get involved in the separating. That's his job. Let's instead focus on what our job is. What is my gift? What is my talent? Am I using it in the right way? And is my attitude toward the master, is the graven image that I have in my mind, is it an attitude, is it an image that lines up with Scripture, or is it something that I've come up with on my own? Well, with that, Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, prosperous week, and God willing, I'll see you this week if I can get all the computer stuff to work. But beside that, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, see you next week.
Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.